You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur with the Innovation for Alpha podcast, and I'm joined today by my good friend Will Walker, who is with Hall Venture Partners, a very, very interesting venture group that's tied to Hall Labs, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tobin. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Will, you've got an incredible background. I think that's part of the fun as people get to know you to learn just a little bit about the background. You haven't always been in private equity and venture capital. Just give a little thumbnail of your history.
Wow. Well, thumbnail, toenail, whatever. I'll offer any little piece I can. I've had a very diversified background, and that's including my 25 plus years in private equity and venture capital. But before that, I was a professional actor for about 12 years and had a good run and, you know, won an Emmy, a television award way back when. I like to say when dinosaurs roamed the earth. But it also kind of always elevated my interest in finding innovative companies and trends that I still follow today and have been fortunate to find some true visionaries in some of these new asset classes, new trends. And now, of course, the hot topic is ESG, social impact investing, that type of thing. And so this is kind of the latest in a string of innovative new asset classes or new groups that everybody is kind of interested in, and whether for profit or for legacy or whatever. So really, you know, really grateful to have been in the forefront of things like cable television and mobile communication with cellular telephones with Craig McCaw. Before that, it was Bill Daniels I worked with in cable TV in the 80s, early stage internet, different groups that I worked with, Buy.com and others that were innovators and early adapters. And then, of course, even into, like I say, the current position I have as the head of business development at Hall Venture Partners, a 70-year-old venture firm, family office in Provo, Utah, and their specialty has been for 70 years, ESG, social impact investing, whether it be healthcare, whether it be home care, smarter cities, smarter homes, smarter cars, smarter bathrooms, smarter toilets, you name it. And, you know, and so this is kind of my coup de grace, so to speak, in my long history of being part of something that I feel is solving a lot of world problems, but also very profitable and has a proven, you know, proven track record and is now in the sweet spot of venture investing.
Well, let's break it down a little bit. And we're having this conversation in advance, a couple of days of the AngelMD Impact Action Summit. And our lead speaker at that summit is Matt Patsky of Trillium Asset Management, which Will, you orchestrated. And for those that don't know, Matt is one of the leading ESG investors in the entire world. He's got incredible history, and we encourage you to watch and attend the event to hear a little bit about Matt's story and about how he finds alpha in the context of ESG. He is not about just doing social good. He is also about generating positive returns. And that's just a piece of Will's network. Will, you have built an incredible network of folks that are innovators. They're doing things that are outside the box. And as I've come to know the Hall organization, known increasingly as the Modern Edison Labs, as you mentioned, based out of Provo. And they are doing some incredible things, but there's an overarching theme you just touched on it a minute ago. When you look at their portfolio of companies, they're in transportation, they're in healthcare, they're in clean water, a variety of things. And the question is, what is it that stitches those together? And as I've come to learn, it's really this broader concept of smart cities. And there is an impact story there. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Sure. Well, like I say, I was fortunate to find in my fairly large network of family offices and investors around the world, I was able to locate the Hall family office, which is a 70-year-old family office. And they have a 130-acre campus, innovative campus, and accelerator in Provo, Utah. Over 700 employees, 200 full-time scientists and engineers of all calibers, you know, electrical, mechanical, you name it, they can understand it, spot it if it's a world problem and needs fixing, or there's a proven, what I call tangible technology solution for those problems and for that need, so to speak. So very, very fortunate to, again, find a leader in these types of things. And they really do start with a smart city outlook. I was on this morning with a group out of Dubai and Bahrain and all of these. They're building a $500 billion city down there, NEON, I believe it's called. And it's all about smart city and leapfrog technology. So, you know, this is what the Halls have been developing and practicing with their vast array of talent and capital and commitment. You know, it really does take a commitment, starting with Tracy Hall, who invented the man-made diamond in the 1950s and sold that five times to different large groups that's still being used in different aspects of drilling and reclamation of all kinds around the world. So a lot of different thought processes and innovation go into their themes and their profitable technology that moves forward in a smart city way. And I mean that because whether it be communication chips with Sure5 that's now being used all over the Facebook campus as we speak for communication and data and voice, as well as security and for other reasons, other security reasons. Or it be an electric vehicle, four-wheel drive electric vehicle, or current models that can be used in the deserts of Middle East, or it can be very active and necessary for places in Colorado where you are and many of our audience is. So very, very forward thinking, leapfrog technology. I like that that term, as well as current applications for different solutions and highly risk mitigated patentable technologies that solve big problems.
Well, let's touch on that. Let's touch on Vanderhall.
Down from there.
Touch on Vanderhall for just a second. You mentioned the Brawley and some of the vehicles or referenced them. And, you know, you and I had a conversation with David Hall a few months back, and David was sharing, you know, in some ways, this is similar to Tesla. Tesla really is not about building a cool electric car. It's about ushering in electric vehicles, period. So they made a cool car to do that. There's a lot to say around how that's accelerated battery technology. So there's a bigger story there than the Model S, for example. And the same thing is true of Vanderhall, as David explained, that this is really about building local manufacturing capability, something that makes people wouldn't even have a concept of, because they're focused on the cool vehicles that are coming out of Vanderhall and the fact that this company, to your point, is accelerating. There's a waiting list for the vehicles. But talk about that broader concept, because it's a big one.
Well, it really gets down to business development, manufacturing, and even distribution. And that's what's fortunate. We're fortunate to have this large campus. It's attached to the BYU University, Brigham Young. And once again, the labor, the talent is there, both engineering and skilled labor for the assembly and manufacturing of different products, including the Vanderhall. And to be able to have this and not have much of the supply chain problems or labor problems that the rest of the country and even the world is facing right now in different companies and different spaces is something that Hall foresee years ago in developing this modern day Edison Labs. But it's more than just an incubator. It really is a manufacturing accelerator and also distribution. A lot of thought has gone into distribution and in their products and services. And so we're very, you know, very happy to or very confident in the delivery of our vehicles, our smart healthcare products, our Sure5 chips that, you know, take care of the last mile of building and wiring and that type of thing and voice and data. So it's a combination of having the manpower, the labor, the engineering talent, the scientific talent, and also the shared resource model that we believe in and have perfected over many, many years.
Well, so David referenced, you know, in our conversation with him as we were talking about, so what are the applications of that local manufacturing and supply chain? And David offered, well, think about housing. Why does a house need to be built by dozens of subcontractors and parts that are coming in from all over the world? Why couldn't it be built through local manufacturing, which is, again, what the Vanderhall sort of leads the stage using a vehicle to demonstrate the fact that you don't have to have the traditional, you know, die cast manufacturing model. So very exciting. And then, you know, you referenced smart toilets. So Medic is one of the other super interesting companies. You think, oh, smart toilet, what does that mean? Talk a little bit about that. What is this? What is the Medic smart toilet, and what now, are the implications of that?
Is it okay if I throw in Surefire real quick? Because you said there's a lot of reasons why even in smarter homes and buildings, including hospitals and other other necessary buildings, as well as smart homes, Surefire eliminates the whole last mile of need for Cat 4 wiring. So you have not only to not have the expense of copper and many of the problems the last mile gives you in reaching in an effective communication, secure way, but this is the answer. This is why Facebook and Federal Express and many other large campuses are now enjoying or in buying from Hull and our Surefire chips and our solution to replace the last mile of wiring, but also for secure voice and data. So there's a lot of reasons here why this makes a smarter building or home smarter, and for lack of a better description. But onto Medic, this is the AI toilet that you and I kind of met on through AngelMD and your astute observation that this is, you know, data being the new oil. And because this toilet is predicts over 85 preventable diseases with real-time HIPAA-approved data and feedback, all secure, by the way, to the user or operator, is really something that is something that is needed yesterday, with or without COVID. So as things go, really lean towards, you know, teledoc and many other types of formats that health professionals or even users need real-time data that's on an ongoing basis for their medicine, for preempting a disease or preventable disease, or for even just for judging different usage cases for large numbers of users, senior living, assisted living, but also for smarter homes. You know, the people that have been at the table to also either invest or look at partnering up, strategic partner up, are people like Kohler, CVS Pharmacy. I could go on and on about how many groups want to integrate in some way, shape, or form a relationship with Medic, the AI toilet. This is one we have over 70 patents issued on it ourselves. Over $29 million of our own money in it. It was actually born in Japan. We brought it over for our manufacturing and our science and engineering know-how to really bring it up the ladder to the point where it is right now. When we got it, it was about $15,000 per toilet. Now we're under $3,000 per toilet. And we expect to get that down to about $2,100. Because this will be the wave of the future, and every smart home built in the United States or overseas with this kind of technology, patented technology. So we're very proud of the Medic toilet, and I hope everybody out there gets to see it and understand it, because it really is a wonderful solution.
Well, I want to dive in just a little bit. I don't want to gloss over, because this is a big story, and you hit on a couple of key themes. First of all, the ship has sailed. Telehealth and home health are the future. We know that people recover more effectively and so forth in the home. And so more and more treatment options are going to be pushed to that. And then you mentioned elder care, senior living, another enormous opportunity where diagnostics can be managed on a central basis, where you've got retirement communities and medics benefiting from these trends. I mean, they probably didn't necessarily anticipate the accelerant that a COVID created, but you have shared with me privately that Medic has got purchase orders and really interest coming from all directions right now. And this is just testament to the fact that the halls are really anticipating where the puck is going on all of these fronts.
Yeah, it's well put. I mean, like I say, it's not only current needs and technology, but it's leapfrog technology. And, you know, they when you have that kind of brain power and engineering talent, you know, Utah in general, it attracts more MBA engineering talent than any other place in the world right now. It's really amazing for obvious reasons. And we're fortunate at Hall, even Provo, was just awarded the number one business growth community in the country by the Milken Institute. So, you know, it's really amazing to see what has transpired because of the problems and the initiatives and innovation that Hall has put forward. But, you know, all of these companies, there's about 135 companies under development there, and about 30 of them are mature, highly risk mitigated. Six are in our current venture fund right now that you're aware of, and would encourage any of your viewers to get a deck on, because they're chock full of diversity and proven technology. They're all in revenue or about to go in revenue. There's over 1,200 patents issued and over 800 pending. So that gives you an idea of how effective the IT and IP portions are, which is what I look for in my 25 years of kicking tires and evaluating companies to find investable vehicles.
Let's hit on that a little bit. You know, we started off talking about impact and ESG, and these, you know, that whole industry is looking for companies that are going to shape society and shape things in a more positive and effective direction. And as we've just discussed, these Hall organizations, these Hall ventures are all doing that. But there is a pragmatic element to this, and that is that historically the Hall family have financed these companies, as David said. You know, part of the baseline of building the modern Edison labs is that you have to be able to finance these businesses. And so they've put their money to work. As he said, you know, it often takes $30 million plus to get a technology proven out. And they're not going to take outside investment until they feel confident that there's something there. Yeah. But now, after decades of doing this, they have finally decided to begin allowing outsiders to invest alongside them and in their ventures. And so that's why Hall Venture One and so forth were created. So talk a little bit about the fund, talk about, yeah, you know, the practical opportunity to get involved in these ventures.
Yeah, well, thanks, Toby. Well, like I say, the you know, one of the questions I get from family offices and funds like Trillium and others before investing with us is why, you know, because once again, the Halls are very successful, and they ran a fund for about 15 years that was just a straight money market fund, for lack of a better word, to, you know, continue to have some outside capital come in. Now they're at the point where it's not necessary, but they found over our last four exits alone, all of them have been over $100 million, two over $200 million. That's in the last couple of years. Our last one, SES Corporation, was a 17.7x return. So they found that the higher we, with our own money or the Hall's money, which we invest on the GP side and the LP side on our funds, as well as our single issue companies, our money is always where our mouth is. But they found a 5x return on the companies where they didn't take in a diverse cap table and elongate that. So now, over our 20-year track record with allowing people to participate, whether from the institutional or retail side, it's up to 8.3x. That's a 20-year track record. That's a high, at the highest tier of any quadrant in VC funds or single issue. But like I say, we've had tremendous success in both private and public exits over 20 years. And now with the many funds and investors mandating that you need a diverse cap table for public offerings or even just for legacy investors, which is what Trillium is all about. They have a very high degree of high net worth individuals and family offices that participate all over the world with their initiatives. And they're all about social impact as much as ESG. And so the Halls portfolio and the Halls mindset and theme fit right in with their mandates and with their personal interest levels. So hopefully that makes sense. And go ahead.
We're just touching the surface. There's a lot more to this story, and we're not going to get into it today. I encourage everybody to reach out to Will. We'll provide his information in the show notes. You can get hold of Will also through me. I'm happy to make the introduction. But I mean, there's an incredible setup with opportunity zones and the tax benefits therein. There are exits pending in some of these companies and things that are not necessarily able to be disclosed yet. But we're seeing incredible momentum on these businesses. And so this is a great time, particularly as we head towards the end of the year and people that are doing some last minute financial planning and so forth. I really encourage everyone who's in a position to make substantive investments to get a hold of Will and talk about the fund and the ability to invest alongside the Halls. There really is nothing, no organization like it in the country, full stop. And Will, I feel privileged to have you sharing about the fund. Thanks, and Robin, what you guys are doing.
Well, as a parting thought, you know, I just want to answer directly. You know, it's a $500,000 minimum in the fund, the current fund that we're offering with these six highly risk mitigated companies that I encourage everybody at least get a deck and a summary and a video, which would be love to send you or any of your audience. That's going to be a good starting point. And once again, our historic time frame is 1 to 5 years at an 8.3x, and these six are of the highest caliber in a very diverse group between healthcare, communication, transportation, smarter homes. One we didn't even touch on that answers a lot of the labor problem is Bacon, which is a temporary help platform that's highly patented and is just booming. We've tripled revenue and growth in the last year alone during COVID. And of course, everybody out there understands the labor shortage as well as the supply shortage. So once again, Hall is doing something about these domestic and international problems and shortages that no one else can see, and really putting forward a diverse set of differentiators, patented differentiators that are highly profitable and highly exitable in the next 1 to 5 years. So, you know, I highly encourage any of your listeners or people to reach out and learn more, get a deck, and certainly love to have any kind of a strategy call with anyone out there.
Is there a website, by the way, Will, for Hall Venture Partners?
Yeah, you can go to hallvp.com, but my email is W Walker at hallvpventurepartners.com. So that's probably the best way, because then I can send you what I think is a high quality, unforgettable deck and even a short 2-3 minute video on our campus and some of the projects, as well as a summary. We can start the ball rolling, because I know we're going to have many of your listeners that will want to see more, learn more, but like yourself, end up going up to view our campus. And I know we're going to have a lot of response.
And so there's still time for people to get in the fund before you guys close it. That's right.
Yeah, we have about 12 million left, about half left of the 25 million. This is a small fund. I expect to have it closed by the end of December, probably the middle of December. So love to talk with anybody out there that is interested. I know you and Matt Paskey, who's a dear friend and investor of Hall and of mine, you know, with his Trillium Fund, they just opened 3 or 4 new big offices in Europe, as well as they have such a great footprint and long history and profitable, like you say, profitable legacy ESG and social impact initiatives. So I'm really excited that, you know, learn and have you guys do your thing on Thursday. And anyways, so.
Well, I appreciate that, Will. And I appreciate you setting that up. And we're looking forward to having Matt on the program or on the at the event on Thursday. But as always, Will, I appreciate your time and sharing a little bit about the fund, about Hall Labs behind the fund. There's always really interesting stories. I tell you, every time I talk to you, and I think I know the core portfolio, you've always got something new and some update. I mean, those guys in Provo are not sitting idle. There is a lot going on, and people ought to lean in and find out more about what's going on.
Well, thanks for having me, Tobin. And once again, I really look forward to further communication and podcast, as well as reaching your audience and helping any way I can as well.
Thanks, Will.
Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.